Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Kate Gehring. I'm one of your Unity Prayer Chaplains. It is my honor and privilege to read the daily word to you today, which is juicy. That's not the word of the day, but it is a juicy word. The word of the day is juicy. Let's know that together. Let's think about that. This is the word of the day. Two words, really. World peace. I envision all people as citizens of peace. Charles Fillmore defined a peacemaker as one who has the ability to say peace to the turbulent waves of thought and have them obey. Who reduces to peace and harmony all the thoughts of strife, anger, and retaliation in his own mind. We all have the potential to be peacemakers, to live as the child of God we are created to be. Living up to our potential is part of our life's work with daily opportunities. I envision all people as citizens of peace, and I dedicate myself to being a peacemaker. I experience strife. When I experience strife or anger, I determine the cause and take positive steps to promote healing and resolution. I contribute to world peace by living peacefully and beholding all people as capable of promoting peace. And today's quote is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God."
Call us Wayne Anderson.
I was grateful that our brother Britt reminded us at the beginning of the service that even though our confession is, it's the best day ever, it doesn't mean that everything necessarily is going hunky-dory with everybody here. And sometimes if you feel that that's what is everyone else's experience and not yours, you can feel like you came to a place that not only doesn't make you feel uplifted, but makes you stick out like a sore thumb as the only person at Unity in Symphony Space on June 5th of the year of our Lord 2016. That wasn't actually experiencing the moment as it's the best day ever. And so I'm grateful that Brother Britt reminded us of that. It does not mean that there are not challenges for us. Life is filled with challenges. That's the way it will always be. We're kind of like in a virtual reality game where as soon as you conquer one level, another level springs up. And after all of your effort to finally get through level number one, number two pops up and you go, oh my God, I'm going to have to exercise even more discipline. I'm going to have to exercise more of the power of my mind and more concentration now to get through a whole nother level. And then finally we get through level two. And then there's level three. I learn a lot from children, and I'm blessed to live with my brother Timothy's daughter, Sienna, because she teaches me a lot when she works on her little, I don't even know what these gadgets are called these days, but she's got all these games. She never gets disappointed by opening up a screen and finding out that the next game that she is about to do is very difficult. She gets how difficult it is, and she gets excited. I think a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago, or maybe last month when I was here, I said that we have the power to transform through a decision what upsets us into what excites us. And I reminded us of the Chinese coin that has the exact same symbol on each side of the coin, but the interpretation under that symbol is different. The very same symbol, one interpretation is danger. Sometimes in the living life reality of moving from one level to another, and my screen opens up and shows me something very difficult, a very difficult challenge that I'm going to be required to meet with everything in me so that I can get through it and pass that goal, my first response sometimes in my life has been that this challenge looks like danger. And we know that when we feel we're in danger, everything constricts. When we feel that we're in danger, the mind cannot operate at its highest level. When we feel like we're in danger, we have lost our peace. We have lost our shalom. We have lost our understanding that there is nothing missing and nothing broken. There is only an opportunity to be more on purpose. And so I watched Sianna go, oh my God, she calls me Baba. Oh my God, Baba, I just got through level 4. It was so hard. It took me so long, but I just stuck with it and I knew I was going to get it. 3 or 4 of my friends haven't got it, but I've got a friend who did get it, and I'm getting ready to call her and let her know that I passed level 4. And then she goes, I wonder what's coming in level 5. She's not experiencing it as danger. She has not lost her shalom. In fact, she seems to have more shalom at just the idea that there's more to do, there's more to learn, there's more to achieve, and there are more goals to accomplish. We know that the word shalom does mean that there is nothing missing and there is nothing broken. Sianna is so excited, the more difficult the game, the more excited she becomes, looking forward to conquering yet another piece of life's puzzle for her. And so she does not look at the next level, level 5, 6, 7, or 8, as being a reason to feel like she's in danger and therefore must lose her peace. She looks at it as something that is very exciting. The opposite side of that Chinese coin, which has the same symbol, is interpreted in this way, not danger, but opportunity. So I believe it was the last time I was here at the beginning of May, and it may have been the beginning of April, when I was telling us, please remember that you have the power to transform the very same thing that upsets you into what excites you, into what encourages you to be more, into what encourages you to tap into the endless well of creativity that is within you. You are creation personified. Your intelligence and divine wisdom personified. You are God's power personified. You are the universe's love personified. There is nothing that shall be impossible to you. With God, all things are possible. And therefore, making God connection is the ultimate for us. Sianna, I don't believe, says a prayer or gets down on her knees or folds her hands or speaks a mantra or gets into her mudra position before she goes for level 5. She simply approaches level 5 with all the excitement of a child of God who knows if this challenge has come into my life, it's because I can meet it. It's because I am going to be rejoicing. She already can see herself rejoicing, and she will talk sometimes about, I can't wait to call my friends when I am finished with number 5 so that I can brag about it, that I got through, and I can tell them how challenging it was to get through. From Sianna, I also learned that everything that happens in my life experience is nothing more or less than an adventure in paradise. Many years ago, and I spoke this probably 7, 8 years ago, I think when Sianna was about 4 years old, she had come back from a journey with her grandparents, with her Nana and Papa. They had gone out of town to find some tag sale or I believe it was a tag sale that Timothy's mother had a little shop, and so she went around all over the state to tag sales to find stuff that might be appropriate to sell in her shop. And they took a trip, and they were supposed to meet some people, get to a place at a certain time, and it was going to be a prosperous opportunity for them. And it was in a place that they had never been before. When Sianna walked through the door, she was dancing and so excited. And this is what she said, oh my God, Baba, what an adventure we had. It was such an adventure. And I said, how so? And she went, well, we lost a tire at some point. The tire blew out. And we were already running late because they couldn't find the directions. It took them like 20 minutes to first find the directions. And then we know we're going to be late, or we might be late. And so we have to get there without missing a turn. And then the tire blows out. And then we called AAA, and they came, and they fixed the tire. And then guess what happened? The UPS gave us the wrong directions, Baba. And we had to turn all the way around. The short story is, by the time we got there, Nana and Papa missed their appointment, and Nana didn't make any money, and we just had to turn around and come home. It was such an adventure. About a month or two later, she goes with Nana and Papa on another little journey to a place that they had not been before, pretty much the same business. And she was gone for about half of the day. And when she came inside, it was like, "Hey, Baba." And I went, "How'd it go?" "Good." "Tell me about your adventure." "It wasn't no adventure. Just a trip." "No adventure, just a trip." "Yeah, just a trip." "What do you mean?" "Nothing went wrong. No flat tires, no going the wrong way. We got there on time. We met the people. Nana found the furniture she wanted. And then we got home safe and sound." And what I got from her was, that little girl is constantly giving me material for sermons. Constantly. She doesn't know it, but I get it. It's like what she calls an adventure has to come with challenge. An adventure comes with something that you have to grow through, something that you have to stay grounded through and centered through, and use your God power, your God mind, your divine mind to make it through. Otherwise, it's good. Just a trip. Good, just a trip is what they call a comfort zone. And most of us really pray to God that we will be blessed to live in a comfort zone forever. However, God will never say yes to such a request. A comfort zone in the heating and in the air conditioning field is right at about 72 degrees Fahrenheit. If you set your thermostat on 72, it doesn't have to work. It doesn't have to work to cool your place. It doesn't have to work to heat your place. It's just in the comfort zone. And it assumes that at 72, every human being in the house is probably comfortable. But there is another word for comfort zone. And that is, they also call it the dead zone. Because if nothing's happening, if nothing is happening to cause you to heat up or cool down, if you are just at a flat line in your comfort zone, no growth is possible and no experience of being fully alive is possible. And so Sianna reminds me that when I have a challenge, when I have a struggle of any kind, whether it's the health of my own body or the appearance of dis-ease or lack of at-easement in the body or the mind or the heart of someone that I care about, in the life of anyone on planet Earth, when there appears to be that absence of it, it's the soul calling us to understand that this is nothing more than an opportunity to reach level 5, an opportunity to tap into the endless power that is within each and every one of us and every child of God, everywhere at all times. It's an opportunity for us to remember that we are never in danger. We are always simply in a state of opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to remember that we should not pray to stay in a comfort zone, because a comfort zone allows no growth. It inspires no growth. It inspires no change. It inspires no purification. It inspires nothing except to lay in comfort. And let us remember that comfort zones are also called dead zones. It's a flatline experience. I've had so many relatives of mine, so many loved ones of mine who have made their transition, and many of them made their transition from a hospital bed plugged up to a number of machines. And some of them actually at times were in such a deep state of coma or such a deep state of immobility that looking at them even closely, you could not tell if they were breathing and could not tell with your physical eye if they were still on the planet or had already made transition. And so not being able to see it by looking at the rising and falling of a chest, you looked over at a machine. And baby, as long as that line is going up and down and up and down, you know they're alive. Many times that line stopped going up and down and up and down, and it became flat, a comfort zone, a dead zone, an announcement that this incarnation is over, the work is done, and this one is gone. And so I'm not asking that you would actually pray for more opportunities for you to call upon the power that is within you. They present themselves constantly. You don't need to pray for more. They are ever forthcoming. But knowing that they're ever forthcoming, be prepared to handle it. Be prepared with excitement, the excitement of a child who knows that I have everything it takes to meet this challenge. I can meet it with joy. I can do what Sienna does and actually dance through it. I can know that every challenge that comes up is nothing more or less than a part of my experience of living in paradise, having an adventure in paradise. Not necessarily a tire blowing out or the track system taking me on a wrong route, but something like a challenge with finances, challenge with relationships, a challenge with confusion, addiction, depression, anxiety. They are countless. But these, if we look at them correctly, can become adventures in paradise. Once more, to look at it that way is to flip that coin from danger to opportunity. And in this way, each and every one of us has the power to transform the very thing that upsets us into the thing that excites us. I'm excited to meet this challenge. I'm excited to grow. I'm excited to change the only person I have the power to change, and that be me. I am excited to do this work that I am called upon to do, to experience heaven while living on planet Earth. Imagine that. Look at the picture of planet Earth. It is such a mix. Some wonderful things happening and some apparently horrific things happening. Wars and rumors of wars all of my lifetime, and apparently throughout the lifetime of every human being since the dawn of man and womankind. Wars and rumors of wars. Imagine someone giving you a message that it is possible for you to experience peace in a field of war, that it is possible for you to get excited about the challenges that come to you, that it is possible for you to use that third eye, that Christ mind eye, the eye of your imagination, to cut through the appearances of things seen and to behold the living light of God everywhere at all times. There is no nook or cranny where God is not. This is something to get excited about, this transformation of our own mind out of interpreting life as danger and into interpreting life as opportunity. Out of the dead zone and into a new life, a new birth. Some of us believe that the way we grow is to be dissatisfied with ourselves I've had people in counseling sessions saying these unity principles and this new thought thing of you're a child of God, you're filled with love, God loves you no matter what, the universe is conspiring to bless you no matter what. I've had people say that's not an incentive for me. And you tell people, love yourself. And it's like, but if I love myself, I won't grow. If I love myself, I'll just keep being the same crappy dude that I have been for the last 15 years. If I love myself, I will continue to make the errors that I have made. I will be like a dog returning to its vomit if I love myself. And I go, au contraire. It is the refusal to love yourself that keeps you stuck. It is the refusal to love those in your life that keeps them stuck. Some people say that dissatisfaction is the inspiration for growth and becoming more. I say, I beg to differ. There is something called a divine dissatisfaction, a divine opportunity. And that is the call of God that wants us to grow, wants us to be all that we can be. And I declare that that comes about most swiftly and most effectively when we love ourselves just as we are right now. That if you fully embrace just who you are right now with all of your pimples, all of your scars, all of your so-called dysfunctions, love yourself just as you are. And be open always to being more. I lived in a little tiny apartment in New York, one of my stretches. I've lived in New York for three different stretches in my life. And in one of those stretches, I lived in an apartment that was about big enough to put, it was a rooming house, and it was a room about big enough for a twin-size bed, and then you had to squeeze through the here to get to this little sink, and then you had to squeeze around and push the bed back and sit in the chair at the little desk. And I was as happy as I could be. I was just so overjoyed that I kept my promise to move to New York when I turned 21 and go for being an actor and go for being a singer. And it didn't matter if I didn't have enough subway fare to get from Harlem down to the Village to the Negro Ensemble Company. I was happy as I could be. Walking all those blocks, I was as happy as I could be for a while, living off of one gyro sandwich a day and one bottle of beer. I did that for months and couldn't nobody tell me I wasn't the richest man I knew. No one could convince me that I was experiencing anything in the neighborhood of lack or limitation. My heart was filled with joy. I had gotten to level 5, and I was heading to level 6 with joy in my heart and with excitement. I know people who have a 2-bedroom apartment or a 2-bedroom house that they can't stop telling everyone. They love to tell everyone how much they hate their little place. There's not enough room in this little place. I can barely breathe in this little place. And it's constant. Just they believe, if you ask them, that the dissatisfaction with this little place will open up the windows of heaven to give me a bigger place. I just have to let God know through my whining and through my complaining and through my crying and through my stomping and having my tantrums, I'm getting God's attention so that God knows I'm not happy in this 2-bedroom. I need a 3-bedroom. I declare that if you learn to love where you're at, everything about where you're at, that might include some roaches, that might include some mice, I don't know, might include some drippy faucets, might include no view at all but a brick wall for the building across the way. I don't. Love it, love it. Love it like someone from a third world country. Oh, I don't even have to say that. Love it like many people in this country would love it if they ever were so richly blessed to have what you have. Love it, love it, love it, love it. To be satisfied and grateful for what you have, that's what opens up the windows of heaven to pour you out an even greater blessing than the one that has already been bestowed upon you. An attitude of gratitude can do anything. It can give you an experience of complete rebirth. It can get you up off your knees. It can change your mind. It can let you trade in your mourning rags for robes of righteousness. An attitude of gratitude about just who you are right now and just what you have right now. Let your prayer be, thank you. More, please. Some people think that to be satisfied is to be satiated. If I'm satisfied with what I've got, how can I get more? No, that's satiation you're talking about there. It's not satisfaction. If I'm satisfied with my salad, I enjoy it, it satisfies me, and I look forward to my steak dinner. If I'm satisfied with my steak dinner, I love it, I'm grateful for it, and I'm looking forward to my dessert. Satisfaction can allow you to keep the windows of heaven open so that there's more, then more, then more, then more. If my salad satiates me, I don't need to look forward to no steak dinner. I don't have room for it. So watch yourself and notice yourself. At what levels are you practicing gratitude to God for who you are, just as you are? Don't wait for a change to come. Don't wait for you to get your act together and stop being such a dumb cluck. If you're being a dumb cluck, love yourself, because that's the best you can be right there. And say more, please. Thank you. More, please. This is what God loves to hear. This is what the universe loves to hear from any child of the Creator. This is what the angels are delighted to hear coming from the mouths of the children of the Almighty One. Thank you. More, please. And then, thank you. More, please. And then, thank you. More, please. I am satisfied with what I have. I am grateful for it. I bless it. I embrace it. And I am open to more. And this is how we grow. I'm going to end by just telling you a blessing that God bestowed upon me yesterday. I have a new room on my home, and it is pretty much all glass walls and almost all glass ceiling, like a sunroom type thing. We live with huge trees all around us in the country. We are delighted by all the birds that are around. We have so many singing birds, so many beautiful birds. Yesterday, while sitting in that room, Timothy suddenly heard something that sounded like a baseball bat had hit up against the wall of the house or something. And it was an oriole that had flown apparently at full flight, thinking that it was in wide open air. And it had banged itself into the window, and it, boom, dropped down on a lower roof, which is right at the low part of the window, but kind of right there in your face. And it was laying there on its back with its head over like a broken neck. And there were some feathers like flying around and some other feathers sticking out of its head. And its beak was just stuck open. And its little eyes were just barely able to open and then shut again. And I said to Timothy, oh my God, I've seen this 100 times. I need to get some of those lattice things to put on these windows. They have these plastic things, they say, that helps birds not to fly into your windows. I saw that. I should have ordered that. Oh my God, I love birds. I love orioles. Oh my God. It looks like its neck is broken. Oh my God. I don't know why I'm so invested. I mean, the cat kills birds all the time, and I could care less, but I feel invested, like this is my fault. Poor Oreo, poor bird. I couldn't keep that bird off my mind. I just kept going back to look at the bird, and every time I looked, it looked like that bird was going through kind of tremors, like muscle spasms a little bit. And then instead of confessing, I think you broke your neck, there was a part of me that was just praying for a quick death. Something else I learned from being in so many hospitals with so many loved ones. And I was just saying to God, it would be awesome if that bird would just go still right now, instead of having a long and lingering death in the heat on that lower roof. And I walked back into my main room, and then I went, oh, dude, what are you thinking? Why don't you go do an affirmation for that bird? You've been that bird. Why don't you say to that bird what you learned about yourself? And I went back out there. The bird was looking lifeless. I go, listen here, buddy. I have been where you're at, flying through the air on a beautiful day, soaring with all the speed that my life force could muster up, headed somewhere, and then hit a wall you couldn't even see, and was on my back, trembling, barely able to breathe. Buddy, I know what you're going through. I have been there. You're me right now. And this is what I want to tell you that I've learned. Greater is the power that is within you than anything that fear can bring to mind. Never give up, little buddy. Never, ever, ever get up. Call on your life force. It's inside of you. Everything is inside of you. Draw it on purpose. This is not level 5. This is level 25. Where you must use every breath to stay alive. Suck it in and push it out. Suck it in and push it out. Stay alive, little buddy. Walk back into my bedroom, trying to take care of some other business. About 15 minutes later, I had to go back in and look at that little bird, and he's still there, looking like he's getting weaker. I said, listen, I'm headed to New York tomorrow. I got a sermon title tomorrow that says, thank you more, please. But let me tell you, recently I preached there, the resurrection was a success. Resurrect yourself. The universe is conspiring to bless you. All of the power in heaven and earth is yours to resurrect yourself from the appearance of death itself. How do I know? I am a resurrected one. I was dead and made to be alive again. I was blind and had my sight returned to me. I was deaf, and in my deafness, I could not even hear the psalms of praise that the universe was singing. But I have been raised from death more times than I could count. And so have you. Every single one of you. I don't need to know your story to know that's true. I waited about a half an hour. I went out, and to my surprise, the bird was no longer on its back. It had flipped itself over on its stomach, still looking weak. Fast forward. 3.5 hours later, the bird is actually standing and it's staring out into the woods at the trees and blinking and staring and blinking and staring. And I said, I remember when I was at that point, when I got up on my feet, and that's all I could do, was stare off at my destination. But I kept on going, you're me, do that. Hallelujah, thank you, God. About 20 minutes later, that little rascal started moving and testing those wings. And I walked away just for a minute to get my camera. And when I came back, Carlos was gone. Yeah. He had flown away. These miracles are everywhere to behold. Thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. God is in heaven, and heaven is in me, and holy is my name. God wants me to know I have nothing to fear, and that there is nothing and no one to blame. I've been informed. My captivity is over. I've been informed. In truth, I'm free. And so it is. Peace! Peace! Peace!
We have been informed. If your captivity isn't over yet, work it out. We have been informed. Are you ready to love yourself, to go to that adventure in paradise? To be willing to know that the universe is conspiring to bless you. And therefore, you are blessed for everything that you have, everything that you are, and the infinite possibility of everything that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. For all that I have, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
And as we prepare for our meditation, I invite you to take a moment to quiet our minds. Breathe and feel the loving, living presence of God in us and around us. Allow the soothing music to unplug you and uplift you. And the affirmations which we recite to center our minds and to rest. And as I turn my attention to the God present at the core of my being, I am filled with peace. Peace is not something I must seek or achieve. It is the inner knowing that God is always here to soothe, support me in mind, body, and spirit. And centered in that knowing, I realize my connection with the One, and I experience everlasting peace. I focus on God, and I am peaceful. In this moment, I focus on my breathing, allowing my body to become comfortable and relaxed. I scan every part of me for any tension or tightness, and I gently let it go. I breathe in the breath of spirit, and as I do so, the gift of life, the gift of love, fills my being. My mind is quiet. I'm aware of the peace within me, and certainly around me. Connecting with my heart and mind, I visualize a world at peace. Although other parts of the world may seem distant and separate from me, I know in truth that we are one. I choose to radiate peace to all humankind in everything I think, say, and do. And I play my part in bringing peace to this world by being peace-filled and full. I am grateful for my body temple. My physical being allows me to express the spirit of life within. I choose to radiate health, harmony, and wholeness, and I celebrate the truth of my innate perfection and give thanks for the divine life expressing through me. And I commit to being and expressing peace, and I embrace the peace of who I am in the silence.